Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium with your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Parent Pump Radio is brought to you by Integrative Minds. Become the leader you always wanted to be. Learn the skills and foundation, create a harmonious family, and leave a multi-generational legacy in wealth, health, and happiness for your family and loved ones. Go to integrativeminds.com to schedule your complimentary consultation. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and syndicated on missionsradio.org and Live, Lead, Play. So subscribe to our RSS feed so you'll be automatically notified of new shows. Would you like your kids to be able to talk to you about what matters most to them? Would you like your kids to have the skills to manage their emotions and really make good decisions? And would you like to increase that connection between you and your children? Well, as parents, we're always looking for those answers. And I'm always looking for the tools that could help me with that. So there's an interactive communications card game called A Penny for Your Thoughts. It helps spark that conversation that and really helps increase emotional intelligence and meaningful connections between you and your children. Here today, I have the two creators and founders of that game. Our first guest has an MS in couples and family therapy from the University of Oregon and a BA in communications from St. Mary's College. She's the founder of Willamette Valley Counseling, co-founder of Willamette Sky Counseling, and co-founder of A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'd like to welcome Janine McGraw. Hi, Janine.
Hi, Jacqueline. Thank you for having us today.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Our next guest is a mother of two. She's worked as a family therapist for 14 years. She's from Chicago. She's the founder of Pacific Sky Counseling. She's a co-founder of Willamette Sky Counseling and the co-founder of Penny for Your Thoughts. I'd like to welcome Catherine Snell Ryan. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Jacqueline. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you both are here today. We parents need any help we can get when it comes to communication with our kids both ways. But I know that this game had to have come out of love. So can you tell me what your passion is, Janine?
Well, my passion really is to help people feel valued, connected, and understood. And part of that as a therapist is about building relationships. I'm passionate about people being able to have healthy relationships in their families, in their communities, in their careers. And part of what I think is so important is social and emotional intelligence and helping people to identify their emotions and use them and integrate them into their thoughts and their behavior so that they can build really healthy relationships.
Wow, that's really powerful. And Catherine, what are you passionate about?
I am passionate about families. You know, I think that there are so many complexities and challenges in family life, in those relationships, in keeping those relationships healthy, open, and being able to stay connected to a sense of joy or fun in between family members. And I'm really passionate about keeping family life peaceful, honest, and joyful. And I put a lot of time and energy into my professional work and also just my own personal family in that way.
So I just wanted to get to know you guys, just spend maybe 3 to 5 minutes getting to know you guys on a more personal level. What happened in your life, or maybe something that happened with your client that made you want to make this game?
I have been fascinated for a very long time by the tendency for children to stay quiet or secretive, keep some really important information to themselves. That has always been, you know, working with younger children who were in foster care, it blew me away the kind of information, the trauma, the experiences that they kept to themselves. And that was early on in my career when I was in my 20s working with foster children. And I have remained interested in that tendency for children to stay quiet about what's what's challenging, difficult, or painful in their lives. There's a lot of shame surrounding that. There can also be a lot of loyalty to the family, even when the family is not doing well or when things are unhealthy in the family. There can be a lot of loyalty around that. And so that's one thing that has been pretty interesting, sometimes confusing even as a clinician, how and why children can stay so quiet about what's really going on in their lives.
Yeah, with the divorce rate the way it is, and like you were saying, even in foster care, I don't think children know how to express it when they're feeling hurt. I can't imagine what foster care children may be going through, you know, having to go from home to home to home and never really building a trust or a connection with anybody long enough to even communicate.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, children who are going between homes where divorce has happened, that same sort of loyalty or not wanting to stir the pot between parents can also create silence or keeping emotions or feelings to themselves so that they don't increase any drama in the family picture. And then I think that that definitely happens too.
So Janine, was there something significant that happened or that made you think of Penny for your thoughts? Or it just came out of a culmination of just everything that you've experienced in your practice, in your personal life?
Yeah, I think it's really a blend of what's come out of my clinical practice, consulting with Catherine about sort of what we experience in our practice. And also, I have a really personal connection as well. I grew up in a home where I had a father who had mental illness and commit suicide. And the tools really at the time were not available for parents, for community, for kids to really speak and open that up. It was also a stigma and shame. There can also be a real stigma that happens when it comes to families and what's going on within them. So whether it's something like a suicide or it's divorce or it's maybe a substance problem, members tend to isolate from each other. And this is really a tool that came out of sort of a passion for wanting to connect adults with kids and give adults tools just as much as we give kids tools, so that everyone's learning at an early age how to open the lines of communication, how to talk with one another about things that are important, how to create family values, and how to make communication flow in a way that is normal, available, open, fluid. So for me, this really is about sort of what I've experienced in clinical work and a personal experience of wanting to bring forth connection between family members and provide communication tools that may not be available still to this day.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say it is a combination of what we do. I find that anybody that I talk to, whether it's my guests, friends, colleagues, and even myself, we usually get into our passion and our life work because of a combination of something that we experienced when we were younger, right? And we want to make a difference. And then through our learnings, we realize, oh my God, I can really make a difference.
Absolutely. I think that when we're fortunate enough to get that combination in work and personal life, it's still so rewarding and it's such a success. And I'm grateful to be able to use some of my professional experience that actually came from business along with my personal experience with my clinical work to really support people who may be at different places in their lives when they come into our office as clients or when they come in as families looking for new ways to open up communication.
Well, it's perfect segue for us to talk about the communication then. We all know that communication is important. We always talk, oh, we got to communicate. Sometimes I think we throw that word around and people don't even know what communication is. Can you tell us what is so important about keeping the lines of communication open with our children? And what does the research show?
It's incredibly important to keep the lines of communication open with children so that they learn how to get comfortable talking about their feelings. You know, and I think that it can be challenging for families to move into normalizing talking about feelings if they haven't already been doing that. But it can also be as simple as the parent or as an adult not accepting the I'm fine or everything's okay response from kids. Opening those lines of communication can be as simple as making sure that you ask your kids what the best part of their day is or was and what the worst part or the hardest part was. I do that at the dinner table every single night, and my kids balked at it initially, but now it's been over a year that this is a part of our ritual or routine every day, and it's just a part of what they do. And I have noticed that they expect that a part of their relationship with me is talking about what's actually going on. And so it happens a lot more often. It's just part of the norm or part of the culture of our family now. And I think that this helps kids develop communication skills. It also leads to talking about life skills, coping skills that can help kids manage challenging or difficult situations, whether that be at home or at school or in other parts of their life.
And, you know, there's so many ways to do this, Jacqueline. And one of the tools that I really like is called social emotional learning. And what the research shows is that when kids learn and apply the attitudes and skills to manage their emotions, to feel and show empathy, to set and achieve positive goals, and to create positive relationships, they're happier and they're better able to manage situations and challenges, not only at school with their peers and at home, but lifelong into their careers and their relationships and their careers, their communities, and the families that they create in adulthood.
I totally agree with you. All these skills our children need to learn. But as you're talking, I'm thinking, there are many parents who don't even know these skills. So if you don't know it, how are you going to teach your children?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I think that a part of the beauty of this game is that it is a playful way to remind adults of some of these basic skills, but also to open up conversation and teach kids these skills. So, you know, the skills cards in A Penny for Your Thoughts, they range from breathing techniques to taking a time out and listening to some good music or reading a book. They encourage journal writing when kids are struggling with different feelings or experiences. It helps kids deal with feelings of guilt or taking ownership or responsibility for themselves when they've done something they don't feel good about. So, you know, A Penny for Your Thoughts is it's a good reminder for adults, and it's a great tool to help teach kids these skills.
And A Penny for Your Thoughts also gives parents and adults the tools with one deck of emotion cards to really go through emotions with kids and help kids begin to name and label their emotions. And what the research shows around this is there's a part of our brain that gets activated when we see the expression of maybe anger, frustration, loneliness, sadness. And as soon as we're able to identify that emotion and name it, that part of our brain begins to reduce in reactivity. So it actually starts to calm down. And so A Penny for Your Thoughts cards really are designed to offer four different decks. One is emotion cards, where kids can learn and name these emotions. One is a set of places and skill cards. And there's another deck that are people cards. And then the fourth deck are the skills that Catherine was talking about. So we can integrate how kids feel, where they felt that way, with whom they felt that way, and then teach them skills that they can use to manage their emotions in those situations.
So to me, this sounds like, tell me if I'm wrong, and it's not just for the kids, right? This is a learning experience for both adults and kids.
It absolutely is. And we encourage adults to engage in the conversation and the storytelling with these cards. So it's not just kids who are sitting down with these cards and saying, you know what, when I feel angry, I can go find a safe adult to talk to. It's also parents being able to share their own stories with their kids about how they manage those feelings or experiences or situations that they went through. Recounting maybe some of the skills they did or didn't use. It's a learning tool.
It's a reflective tool. We're not perfect. You know, we developed this game because we can use reminders of some of these skills at times. So it really is about kind of connection and reminding ourselves and engaging in new skills and engaging with families.
Yeah, because your children are going to copy what you do, good or bad, unfortunately. And so I can see that as you are sharing your feelings and your thoughts and your emotion, it almost gives them a permission to do the same. Because I don't think most parents share their thoughts and feelings and emotion. They're more of, you know, just worried about responsibility and providing for the kids and trying to get the kids to talk. But this game, What Penny for Your Thoughts, I think is great is that it allows that mutual exchange of emotions.
Well, that's so interesting that you say that about the modeling. Modeling is so important. I read a story just last night. It was a little news clip of a child who was playing on the playground in a choo-choo train. And the parents actually videotaped this. So it was a news clip that I saw. And the child looked outside of the choo-choo train and repeated what his dad had said in a moment of road rage. And the parents are laughing at it. And it's a cute, adorable moment. But really what our kids at just the age of two are learning to model us, and they are repeating what we say and inhabiting it in sort of how they think in the world.
Yeah, I totally agree. So as working professional, what are you seeing as a trend as happening with our children that adults as parents, we really need to be aware of?
I think that kids are spending a lot of time behind tech gadgets. And I think that parents are also spending a lot of time behind tech gadgets.
I agree.
You know, I think we all are. And that when it comes to that modeling piece, we have to be careful how much we're stuck behind our phone or our computer, because that is the behavior that we're modeling for our children. And, you know, one thing that I find really interesting and a little disturbing, research shows we have about 34 undistracted or connected minutes a day with our kids. And that sounds a little crazy, but when you think about, you know, hours spent in school, after school activities, sports, bedtime routine, it really can often boil down to just about 34 potentially undistracted minutes with our kids. That's a trend that
that's actually a lot for some parents.
It may be. I mean, it doesn't sound like much, but that may be.
Yeah.
And that 34 minutes may be more like 15 undistracted minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think that that's a trend that's incredibly important to look at and really use our time wisely with kids when we have those undistracted minutes. Really take that time to sit down, to talk, to share, and to understand what's really going on in one another's lives.
You know, and with technology, it's so interesting because it engages our visual and our audio senses. But when we connect with children, whether it's communicating or through a walk or outside in nature, we begin to engage more of their senses. And this is where they really get the opportunity to organically learn the consequences of their behaviors. So if I climb a tree, you know, I have to think about how my body's moving and what's happening as I go up and scale that tree. But when we're behind technology, it's really two-dimensional. And so getting kids sort of outside that also gets parents away from technology and gets everyone engaging in more organic and authentic ways that are going to be so important and critical to their outside world, with peers, with at school, with their family members, and they're kind of developing their family guidelines and later in life, in their careers, and in the relationships that they build.
Yeah, I think this is why family meals together are being pushed right now so much, because I hear it all over the news, internet, because that's the time that you get to engage and you get to use all your senses. You actually get to use olfactory and the taste and everything too. And so many parents can't even sit down three times a week with their family, their children.
Exactly. I mean, it's challenging. It's hard to carve that time out. Sometimes it's impossible to carve that time out. In those cases, I encourage parents to really take the time, even driving across town to soccer practice, turn the music off, get the phone or the iPad out of the hands of your child, and really take that 20 minutes drive across town to talk. You know, use the time that you have. It may not be around the dinner table, and that's okay, but use the time that you have wisely, because it is really important to connect.
And really, when they're talking, it's so important to ask these open-ended questions. They don't have to be really long developed questions, especially with the younger kids, but tell me about the high point of your day. Tell me about the low point of your day. Tell me about something you're proud about, something tell me you're least proud about. When we ask kids these kinds of questions, then we're slowing down and we're giving them the chance to kind of reflect on sort of what happened in their day, rather than just give that stock response of everything was fine today.
Yeah, yeah. I know, you know, we go back to that modeling. When I take my kids to school every morning and I pick them up, that's my time to talk. And I will tell them in the morning, like, this is what mommy's wanting to do today. And I'm really hoping that this turns out this way and this turns out this way. And then at the end of the day, when I do pick them up, I talk about how my day went so that it gives them permission to do the same. And even though it's probably about 20 to 25 minutes of total drive time, it still adds up.
It does. It does. And that becomes the norm. You know, I encourage parents to try something for a week or two to change the norm. Even if you haven't been doing that or connecting or using this language with kids, try it for a week or two. And it's amazing how quickly kids adjust to a different norm. And and they will start talking to you. It won't be so weird or annoying to them. They will start talking to you, and that will become a normal ritual in the family.
And what I really loved about what you shared too, Jacqueline, is that you're expressing to your kids your hopes for the day. And then when you're tying it up, maybe it went really well, maybe it didn't go so great. And being able to share that with your kids also opens up that dialogue so that they're feeling more comfortable with, I get to make mistakes, or not everything is supposed to, you know, be tied up in a box and look perfect at the end of the day, because that's not realistic.
Nope. Yep. I agree. So I want to help my kids increase self-awareness and make good decisions. And I think I could speak for most parents out there that they want the same thing. So how do you help kids do that? How can we help kids do that?
You know, I think that this sounds really basic, but the very first step in doing that is helping kids identify how they're actually feeling. You know, I think for children, and I have two children of my own, but something common for children and for adults is for the feeling of anger or frustration to be the very first thing that can come up. And kids and adults often don't recognize what is underneath anger or frustration. There's a world of emotion underneath anger and frustration. And I think that in terms of developing self-awareness, that's one really important step, is really helping kids figure out how they are actually feeling. And that's where I start with my kids. That's also where I start with my clients. Because if kids can identify how they're feeling, then they're able to call on skills that can help them manage those feelings. If they don't know how they're feeling, then they are really unable to call on the coping skills that they need to manage those.
So does Penny for Your Thoughts help with that?
It does. A Penny for Your Thoughts helps kids look through this stack. There are 26 different emotions. Kids are really able to look through them, look at the facial expressions, look at the illustrations, help identify how they're feeling. And then they're able to move on to the skills cards and really look at, okay, when I'm feeling angry, these are the skills that I can use. When I'm feeling sad or lonely, these are the skills that I can use to help manage those feelings.
So really, A Penny for Your Thoughts is that first step. You don't know how to get your kids to talk about their feelings and emotion. It might be too new for you, for the parent themselves to be talking about it. Then getting this card game, interactive card game, is a way to really start that positive relationship.
I believe so. Yes, I think it's an awesome, fun, playful, and really insightful first step to help kids figure out how they're feeling and how they can manage those.
You know, some of the feedback we've heard are, well, one quick story that we heard was a mother who put the cards out with her child. And for the first time, the child pulled brother card and love card. And that was the first time mom had heard sister say this about brother, because they're fighting all the time. So parents are often seeing the external, the behaviors that children have, and are missing sort of the inside cues that even though kids are fighting or arguing with one another, that there's still love there. But when parents are in response mode, they don't necessarily get to see that part. So this really slows down things too. And slows, A Penny for Your Thoughts cards really slows down and opens up so that parents get to see not just the behavior of their kids, but what's happening inside them.
That's so wonderful that we have a tool that we can go to help our children successfully navigate these skills. Now, if a child can learn these skills at a young age, how can it help them in their adult relationships?
Well, if we learn skills to communicate and manage our feelings in childhood, that helps adolescents and teens manage those much more successfully also, which absolutely moves into adulthood. You know, if we learn the skills around communication and coping as a child, it is so much easier to deal with our feelings in adulthood.
You know, if we know, you know, and I'm going to just add to what Catherine said, if we are able to identify and label the emotions that we're having as adults, then we're less likely to react to them. And what I like to kind of highlight is if we don't manage our emotions then do us. And this is, and what that could look like, and I think we've all experienced it at some point, is a building of not saying what's on our mind, and then a big explosion. And maybe we say too much, or we say the wrong things, or we put our foot in our mouth, and maybe we turn off a potential friend or a colleague or a manager. So when we can really, as kids, begin to identify, label our emotions, then this is the first step in managing them and using useful skills so we can stop, we can think about how we want to respond. And responding really is about perspective taking. It's about managing our emotions and perspective taking so that we are thinking about how the other person might feel as a result of how we act on our emotions. So it's complex, and it includes empathy as well.
As you were saying it like that, you know, I think we've all had that boss from hell where he's just screaming at everybody and anything and has no emotional intelligence whatsoever. And I'm just thinking back to maybe when he was a childhood that he never was taught these successful tools. So it's almost like they become a two-year-old again as an adult when they can't handle the stress that comes with life. They just explode.
Absolutely. And somebody who may be working for that boss, if they're in tune with their emotions, then they're better able to respond rather than have another reaction, which might be fear, and to move away. And so what we want to do is encourage, you know, everybody to be able to have kind of these tools, whether it's, you know, the person overreacting or the person who's on the other side of that, to slow down and be able to sort of redirect the communication based on sort of a healthy line of, we want people to be able to slow down, redirect the communication based on sort of what's going on inside of them and being able to have the tools to be responsive rather than reactionary.
Okay, so you sold me. Where do I get a penny for your thoughts?
Our website is a great place to learn more information, see some beautiful pictures of the product, and order the product. Our website is www.apennyforyourthoughtscards.com.
Thank you. And listeners, the link to that website is also in our show notes. So just scroll down and you can just click on the link. And how much is the game?
It is $29.99.
That's a very good price for the future of your children and for the world, I think, too. Because if we can change just one child, I think he's going to have many, many friends, families, and coworker that will thank you when he gets older.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you, Janine. And thank you, Catherine, so much for just being here today and inventing a game like this to help parents and children navigate the world of communication and sharing of emotion. You are doing a big service for the future of our society and our children, I think.
Well, thank you so much for having us on.
Yes. Before we sign off, do you have any shout out that you want to say?
I could easily thank both of my kids and all the kids that Janine and I really have ever worked with.
Yeah, I could easily do the same, as well as thank my family too.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, both of you, and listeners. Until next time, always be learning and always be growing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.